This today is 100% mine. It is 100% mine. I did this one night just thinking, how could I put all this together where people might be able to walk away and at least be able to say, I don't understand the thing he's saying, but I understand the different options. How does that sound? That's all I'm going to try to do this morning. I'm going to use the Good Ship Lollipop. I think this might have come from, was there a song, The Good Ship Lollipop? All of you old people know. Yes, yes. Thank you, but I don't want to hear Frenchie sing anything. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. As we begin this morning, as I try to put all of this in a package, I'm out of order, so Rhonda's already a little discombobulated. I skipped over stuff because last week I'm looking at faces and I realized the people that have been here every week, if I hadn't, would you please come up here and explain in broad contours what I said? They wouldn't have any idea that I was even talking about election. So today I'm going to try to put this together in a package. Now, for all of you that have not grown up around me, if you went to typical Baptist church, most of the time this stuff is ignored. That's just how they deal with this. Why is it ignored? Somebody tell me, why is it ignored before we pray? Anybody, raise your hand and say, why do we ignore it? Yes, ma'am. Doesn't sit with our, it doesn't fit very well with being an American, which thinks that everything is equal, which is a joke in and of itself. Amy? Most pastors could not logically talk to you about this. That's a big problem, too. Don't kid yourself. I've talked to lots of pastors. And you ask them what they believe, and they're just like, not only do you ignore it, they've been ignoring, and the Bible college they went to ignored it. So it's just like, let's just not talk about that. I'm not interested in you being me. What I'm interested in you knowing, what I think the Bible teaches, the other views, which I'm being accurate and fair, and to start to be able to think about this. Because if you read the Bible, which some of you do, you're going to come across these things. And skipping them after a while, when you've been saved 30 years, doesn't work anymore. Just skip, 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 skip. You have to have some kind of answers. Now remember, when we talk about election, if salvation is at this point, election is in eternity past. Calling is what happens as you get saved. You know, so we're talking about this part of it. That's important to know. We're going to start, and then we will talk about the Good Ship Lollipop, which is a Pastor Warren-ism from beginning to end. Father, thank you for this day. May this be a profitable morning as we consider and try to put together these big ideas. We can get back to details, but if we don't kind of have the big ideas, we kind of get lost. Help us now, we ask, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm using an analogy. Do I need to say that? Do I need to say that I'm using an analogy? Yes or no? I shouldn't. As a Christian, of course, we believe that any Christian that's evangelical in general believes that the only hope of heaven is Jesus Christ. That's the Good Ship Lollipop. So we'll begin in your notes. If you have questions, we'll have time because this is not going to be super long. Well, maybe. What we all agree on, God ordained the Good Ship Lollipop for salvation. Anyone on the Good Ship Lollipop is saved. Now, when it comes to subject of election, and really the subject of, well, how do we get on the Good Ship Lollipop? It's a good question. So how does this work? Folks, you only have a few options. You don't have, look at me, there is no biblicist option. I'm going to keep pounding that. I read a guy again this week that said, I used to be a Calvinist, now I'm a biblicist. Understand, all that is a way of saying, you're stupid, you follow men, and I just read the Bible. Okay, then tell me what you believe. I'll tell you what you are. You have to be something. You know, you can't just ignore dozens and dozens and dozens of verses. Well, I guess you can. You shouldn't. In your notes, here are the options. The first option, God chose the ship. So what part did God choose? He chose, this is your first option, he chose the ship. God chose the ship. What kind of a ship is it? Thank you, Noel. It is an empty ship. Nobody's on the ship. God just chose the ship. And you choose to get on or not to get on the ship. That is the first option. So all God did in eternity past, when the Bible talks about election, and when the Bible calls you, look at me, when he calls you the elect, all God did, he didn't choose you. He had nothing to do with you. He just chose the ship. You choose whether you get on the ship or not. Now, we've already dealt with this, have we not? What is this called, Noel? It's called corporate election. I didn't ask you what your opinion was, Noel. So God chooses the ship. You choose whether you get on or off the ship. It's all your choice. Let's see here. I say in your notes. So let's get it all. By the way, do you understand? Here's the ship. We all agree that if you're on the ship, you're going to heaven. Well, how do you get on the ship? It's an empty ship. That's what God chooses. And you choose to get on or off the ship. In your notes, I say this. This is all your choice and only your choice. Of course. Now, I'm going to erase this because of space. We probably won't have room, but there are three positions on this side, and truthfully, all three of them come down to the same thing. Whose choice is it? It's always going to be your choice on these three positions. Andy. Andy, they don't do anything with that clause. They don't do anything with any of those clauses. Here's what they really do. I think it's Emily probably gets this coming from a Bible-believing Presbyterian background. Going to Bob Jones, being around Baptists, most Baptists don't. By the way, Baptists used to believe in election, folks. Every doctrinal statement we ever wrote from 1644 to 1689 to the, where were the first Baptists at in America? I don't know. They just showed up. Philadelphia, guess what? They used the 1689 to the New Hampshire Baptist Confession, to the Southern Baptist Confession in the 1925. We always believed in election. Somewhere between the 1920s to the 1960s, the Bible got lost among us. And we just started, and it's very obvious when you read history, we just started denying this. Let's move on. This is one of the options. Jesus chooses an empty ship. Corporate election. That's one of the options. By the way, that is an Arminian option. Number two, or B, I guess, in your notes. God chose what you do on the ship. God chose what you do on the ship. By the way, this is called election to service. Now, you know, we have already covered this in the Sunday school hour. You already know that if you've been here. But basically, God chose, you know, in these views, these two here can go together. They can believe that God chose the ship, and he also chose what you're going to do on the ship. So here's Noel. Noel is going to, what did you do on a ship, Noel? He slept. Ho, ho, ho. That's your friend. Woo! I think we're having a little problem here, folks. Ooh. Yes, Robert, what did you do on a ship? Sleep too? Oh, you worked. He had to work for the other two guys. Okay. So God doesn't have anything to do. By the way, all those texts that talk about choosing, election, all it means is God chooses what you do on the ship. That's it. That is called, well, in your notes, God's choice has nothing to do with getting on or off the ship. Nothing to do with that. Election to everything you do on the ship. That's the idea. Election to everything you do on the ship, but nothing to do with entrance to or a berth on the ship. Nothing to do with that. It's just what you do on the ship. I've already said this is called election to service, or you could say good works. Now, somebody that was here in the last last week or the week before, tell me about that. What do they really mean? Do they really mean you are chosen to, here's Robert. Here, and we'll put Louie over here. And Louie sleeps. And Noel sleeps, but Robert works. Where did you work, Robert? Where? Electrical stuff. Robert works on the electrical stuff. But what is the problem with chosen to good work? Somebody tell me that was here. They don't mean that either. Because it's still your choice whether you even do that. God's choice never really matters. Look at me. When you hear a lot of Arminians, God is this big and you are this big. And it's all your choice. Oh, come on, folks. Is that the God you read about in the Bible? God is a little puppy dog walking behind you. I need your help, Tim Kowak. No, you need to do what God's called you to do. God will do without you just fine. Just fine. So both of these sound good, but this is, by the way, and both of these are Arminian positions. They are not biblicist positions. They are Arminian positions. So let me read all that again. God chose what you do on the ship. God's choice has nothing to do with getting on or off the ship. Election to everything you do on the ship, but nothing to do with entrance to or a berth on the ship. This is called you're chosen to service, election to work, good work, something of that nature. C, you have the third concept. God chose you. So God chose you, Tim McGrail, to get on the ship because he foreknew or he foresaw you would get on the ship. I'll put it over here. So God chose you. Tim, you're going to heaven. Why? Because God looked down through time and he knew you were going to get on the ship. Yes. And because you're going to get on the ship, God chose you to get on the ship. What does that mean exactly? Well, it certainly means God didn't really choose you. It doesn't have anything to do with God. It really is, God is kind of like confirming your choices. So you want to get on the ship? Praise the Lord. I didn't know what I was going to do if you didn't want to get on the ship. That is, by the way, I would say this is a common view. Very common view. Do you not know that? Very common view. Until you look at me, until you say it out loud, it makes sense. And then it's like, boy, that's dumb. God chose you to do what he knew you were going to do? Why bother with that, folks? I got eight hands, Mike. Yeah, but could you mess up? That's another problem with this. Yes, Rhonda, and that's the problem with this. By the way, folks, I don't want to confuse this. I want to keep this just a good chip lollipop today. I'm going to give you 3 minutes of the problem. Arminianism started in a big way with, of course, Jacob Arminius in the late 1500s in on the continent. But it never made a headway until John Wesley and the Methodist. And John Wesley, he actually developed a form of Arminianism that was acceptable to some people. It was called Evangelical Arminianism. He believed in what's called prevenient grace, but he taught these kind of things. Where was I going with this? But in the last 35 years, starting somewhere in the 70s, now you wouldn't know about it because you're not academic, you're not in the academic world, but it has floated out into the world that people started taking this seriously, Arminians. And they started saying, well, if God foresaw that Chris was going to be saved, does that allow Chris to have a choice? Because if God knew you were going to do it, do you really have a choice? He saw it. You got to do it. And therefore, there is a large movement that has moved further to the left called open theism, which teaches God not only doesn't control the future, that's what I would believe. Arminians would say he doesn't necessarily control everything, but he knows what's going to happen. They say God doesn't know or control the future. This is very big in certain circles. Some huge churches believe this. This was a war in the 1980s and 90s because Arminianism, once you take it seriously, by the way, if you really take this seriously, you realize all that language on election and God's control means nothing. So what ends up happening is you tend to move this way. And then God kind of becomes, they will generally say God kind of knows what's going to happen in the big picture, but he doesn't even know what's going to happen in the details of your life. So if you get cancer, not only is he not in charge, he didn't even know it was going to happen. Logic, by the way, you didn't hear what Emily said because most of you don't think systematically. You have a system of belief already. That's the reason some of you struggle with this. You already think you know what you believe before you've read the Bible. Your beliefs take you places. All right, we want to get back here because I just want to focus on the good ship Lollipop. So God chose you to get on the ship because he foresaw or foreknew. It makes no difference. You would get on the ship. This is called election according to foreknowledge. I don't have room to write it. All three of these positions, I have this in your notes, so I'll read it as I have it written. That's the best thing to do. All three views are compatible with five-point Arminianism, not Biblicism. Drop the Biblicism. So if you are a five-point Arminian, meaning you believe you can lose your salvation, these are the three views that people have that hold to that. You can lose your salvation. These are also compatible with what you would call and I'm being technical, a 4 or a 4.5 Arminian, which is quite a few Baptists. You say, what do you mean? Baptists will say, I'm not an Arminian. And why do they say that? Because they say you can't lose your salvation. By the way, if you just believe in eternal security, you are a 4.5 Arminian. Because the Bible doesn't just teach eternal security, it also teaches perseverance. We're going to talk about assurance of salvation in future weeks. When I get done with this, we move right on to assurance of salvation. And you're going to see how this comes to affect full assurance doesn't happen when you're an Arminian or even a 4.5. So if you believe in 5-point, this is my language, by the way. I like the analogy. Did you notice that? So let's read this. All three views are compatible with the 5-point Arminian. You can get on, get off, get back on. Get off, get back on, get off, get back on, get on, get back off. This is the reason in some churches people get saved repeated times. You lose it. Now, they can never tell you when you lose it. When you ask a pure Arminian, when do you lose salvation? It's usually what other people do. But they will literally, think of this, is your Christian life a windshield wiper? I mean, I'm on, I'm off, on, off, on, off. It's also compatible with people that believe you can't lose your salvation. Why do they believe that? I will tell you, this is not consistent with what they believe here. It just makes you feel better. I can't lose my salvation. I believe in all the Bible teaches, not just narrow things. But this is the view of anybody that leans towards Arminian. And by the way, when you say this to people, they're immediately going to blurt out, I'm not an Arminian. But what they mean is, Jim's already said it, I'm not an Arminian because I believe you can't lose your salvation. That is 0.5 of a system. Not even 1 point of the 5 points. All right, next. Now we move over here. Hyper-Calvinism. High Calvinism, whether it be high or hyper. Now you have to understand, Pastor Warren is being very precise. This isn't religion. God chose you to get on the ship. So this is unconditional election. And that's all it is. God chose you to get on the ship. If you are a true hyper-Calvinist or a high Calvinist, you run into these problems. And I'm sorry to say this, but this is the way it is. You don't know if you are chosen or not. You won't know. I'm going to add a word to that in my notes. You won't really know. You won't really know until you get to heaven. Or not. And that is exactly what hyper-Calvinism teaches. You know, God saves you. God chooses you. God zaps you. But you don't really know for sure. And by the way, you already know this because you've already had it in your notes in this Sunday school class when we read about hyper-Calvinism 3 months ago. From their own documents, they say, we don't, you know, you don't, you're in hope of eternal life, but you don't really know if you have it. You hope you have it, which is not the way the Bible speaks. But so this is the view of hyper-Calvin. They believe in unconditional election, which means in eternity past, God chooses people, real people. The problem is, which is where Calvinism goes if you're not careful, it doesn't have any of the dirty business of the real world. It's not a middle view. The view that I consider biblical is the next view. I'm going to write it on the board, and it's not in your notes correctly. I call it this. This, again, is my terminology. Do you see the little thing that's not in your notes? What? The plus. Like I said, it's not there, Frenchie. Let's look, if we could, to 2 Thessalonians 2. Frenchie will figure this out sometime next week. His wife is not here, so he's a little confused. 2 Thessalonians 2. You say, Pastor Warren, what do you believe about election? Well, I think I believe what the Bible teaches. I do not hold to a biblicist view. Look at me. I do not hold to a biblicist view. Meaning, I think I'm just smarter than and more everything than everybody else, so I'm in this privileged position that only I believe the Bible. Drop that dumb language. By the way, that's the language of arrogance. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to think about this, so shut up. We don't do that here. Again, you have to believe something. Tell me what you believe. I'll tell you where you are. I said this the first Sunday I came back from the Philippines. That's when I started this. And I said, Baptists have been all the way. If you're a General Baptist, General Baptist Conference, if you're Greg Boyd, you're an open theist. But historically, Baptists have been anywhere from a five-point Arminian to a hyper-Calvinist. I can name the names. I'm trying to present to you what I think the Bible teaches. I think it teaches unconditional election, which means in eternity past, God chose you out of grace and out of love for his own reasons, nothing in you, oh, please, nothing in you. I mean, that's what the Bible says every place. And in time, here's my difference with this. These are little theological people that like to spout theology but don't like to witness to people, because the Bible never has election by itself. It always sticks it in the middle of what we are to be doing. So I've already said, I can point out in this room hyper-Calvinist. But every hyper-Calvinist that I could point to is not a hyper-Calvinist in knowledge because they don't understand it. They're a hyper-Calvinist in practice. Bible doesn't allow that. Ever. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And by the way, that's where hyper-Calvinist stops. Woo! We're chosen to salvation. But that's not what it says. Because look up here. It's unconditional election plus, because this is what happens in eternity. What happens in time? What are we to be doing? Well, he tells us. He's chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. We're going to talk about this in future weeks. The work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life before salvation. How do you explain when a person gets saved? Now, if you got saved as an older person and you look back, you're like, how did I get saved? Folks, I remember even as an 18-year-old, I got saved at age 9, but I didn't live for the Lord in high school, to say the least. And if you ask me how, even at 18, how I got from living one direction, and it was like within a period of days, I was living a different direction. That's what only God can do. Now, I would preach my sermon from Wednesday night when I embarrass people here, but I won't. I'll save that for a future time. I believe people have testimonies. Don't ever tell me about getting saved 40 years ago. There ought to be before and afters in your life, dozens of them. I used to be a rotten parent, and then I learned how to parent. That's called growth in grace, following the Lord. Some people have no testimonies. They always want to talk about, I got saved and Jesus keeps me. Really? He's never done anything else? By the way, and most of the time, here's what you'll find. People will say, I know there was this time in my life when I parented like my parents, and I read a book, heard a sermon, learned something, and then I started parenting like God wants me to parent. Wow, that's called growth, but it's still the miracle. So this process, when God in time calls you to salvation, is done by the work of the Holy Spirit, which is above our comprehension. You can't understand. Didn't Jesus say the wind blows wherever it wants to, but you don't really understand it? That's what the Spirit does, the miraculous work. Well, let's keep reading. So it's through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and belief in the truth. You don't get saved because you're elected. You get saved at a point in time. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel. So here you have this concept. If you got saved, the Holy Spirit is working. He's calling you. How? Through the gospel which is being preached. Folks, election in the Bible is dirty work. It's work. It's not you sleeping. It's never some theological idea that makes you feel good. It's always connected to the whole package. Well, let's keep reading. God calls you how? By the gospel. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We won't go any farther on that, but I will tell you this. Anytime you look at election in the Bible, it's always election plus. It's never God zaps you and that's it. It's always, well, let's look at one more passage. Acts 13, we've dealt with this so many times. Acts 13, man, this is right down there in the blood, sweat, and tears of missions work. Acts 13. I think we started with this text, didn't we? 13, verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. By the way, if you're once saved, always saved, in the extreme view, you never persuade anybody to do anything, because once you pray a prayer, you're good. in the Bible, he's persuading them to follow Christ. Because if you don't follow Christ, you didn't get it. Verse 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. My friend, I never find election floating around as some theological abstract construct that you think is cute and makes you feel good and impresses people that you know more than they do. Oh no, election is always in the dirty work. People praying, people giving, people fasting, people weeping. When's the last time you wept for anybody other than yourself and your comfort? Election is different than what I've heard among many Calvinists, which becomes real cute doctrine by smart people, even used to impress people that we are smart. No, this is election, folks. We're going to get to the verse, but this is election. Preaching to people that hate your guts. Why? Because it's necessary to do so. So those people that you know, how many have you invited for the special day? Hyper-Calvinist. Let's continue. Let's go down to verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. There's no question, friends, there's something that God does in eternity past. But hear me, it's election, unconditional election, plus all of the other stuff that we're to be doing, God is doing. It's never, do you understand? It's not an academic subject. It's never meant to be an academic subject where you debate academics. It's meant to be a living thing where you're out on the front line talking to real people. People that hate your guts. People that don't like what you're saying. And then you see, and like Luke says, you know, you look at this mess. Some people wanted to hear. Some people hated us. Some people were stirring up problems. Some people were asking questions. And out of that whole mess, as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. Does that make sense, folks? You say, I still don't understand it. You don't need to. It's right here. Now, let's go back to the notes. Unconditional election plus. This is the biblical view. Remember, from my perspective, if you walk away from here still being confused, that's fine. This is what I think the Bible teaches. Number one, God chose you to salvation. No, excuse me. Let's use my language from the Good Ship Lollipop. God chose you to get on the ship. How's that sound? Next, God chose all the means to get you on the ship. What are the means of getting you on the ship? Have we not just been talking about them? See, here's the problem. People want to either work their way to heaven or they want God to zap them, and the Bible doesn't teach either one. So here's God in eternity past. He chooses in his providence and wisdom and grace to choose people to save. But he also chose all the means of getting you on that ship. So it just happened. I just happened to be born in St. Louis, Missouri. Could have been born in Kathmandu. Which is in what country?
Nepal.
Could have been born in Bhutan. Folks, I could have had different parents. 10 million, if you don't understand, Paul says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. I mean, Paul looked around and realized, oh my goodness, God is so much bigger than I ever thought, and put 10 million little pieces together so I could hear the gospel. And you say, well, I trusted Christ. Really? By the way, I trusted Christ too. Why did I trust Christ? The 10 million things of God's grace that brought that together. And frankly, for reasons I can't understand. I can't even explain why I follow Christ today, and I used not to. Didn't get it then. Well, I do understand the grace of God. I am what I am. You've read that before? God chose all the means to get you on the ship. Next. God chose to keep you on the ship. What do you think about that? You say, I want to get off this ship. Good luck. God chose to keep you on the ship and all the means to keep you on the ship. Our God is so much bigger, folks, than one little line someplace in the Bible. Lastly, I believe this too. God chose what you do on the ship. And yes, I believe you have to do it, and I believe you in some ways cannot not do it. You can try. This is the reason I call this view unconditional election what? That's my language. When you read books of theology, some of them are very good, some of them are not. The best ones are the Puritans, because the Puritans were pastors. Look at me, folks, preaching to people. Today, modern theologians that are Calvinists tend to be theologians and don't pastor churches and don't witness to anybody. You'll read from the Puritans, D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. How about this guy, Spurgeon? And you always see the whole package. You never see an academic subject. So here's where we are today. When it comes to the subject of salvation on the good ship Lollipop, which is Jesus, every Christian agrees if you're on the ship, you're going to heaven. Yes? You'd say, I still don't have a clue what you're talking about. Wonderful. All you have to know is this. You have to have some kind of an explanation for election. You only really have five explanations, or six. Either Jesus chose this empty ship and somehow you get on, so your salvation is dependent upon and you. Or he chose just what you do on the ship, so he's got a job for you to do. But if you don't want to, you know, and that's okay. Or he knew that you were going to get on the ship. I would say, if you say, which one do Baptists hold? Honestly, among the Arminian Baptists, they hold all three of these. Now, there is a fourth position, which is over here. God doesn't even know anything about this, which is, so he not only doesn't control it, he doesn't even know about it. That's scary. And anybody that's read the Bible one time knows that's not true. The extreme opposite is God just chose you to get you on the ship. Now, you don't know. You won't know to heaven. This is directly from hyper-Calvinist teaching. If you read guys that are high Calvinists, the way they structure things, I can remember as a young man reading, most of you know about a book written in the 1850s called Uncle Tom's Cabin. Anybody know who wrote it? What's her name again? The operative name being Beecher. Her father was Lyman Beecher, a famous preacher of that day. He was a high Calvinist, not a hyper-Calvinist. Now, what you don't know is his son, Henry Ward Beecher, and this woman and all the kids struggled to find assurance of salvation. And I remember reading their biography thinking, why are these people struggling so much just to figure out if they know they're saved? And you know why? Because something about that Christianity wasn't simple. It was too much of this, too much academics. By the way, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Here's how you know you're saved. Have you trusted in the finished work of Christ, what he did on the cross, as your only hope? Let me ask a second question. Can you look back at your life? Are you all sleepyheads? Was there a before and an after? Hold it. As you walk forward, are there many before and afters? There was a time that I would have parented like my father until I read James Dobson, and I no longer parented like my father. Hello? What about you? What I see is some people have this is their only hope of heaven. I prayed some prayer and I hope I'm saved because there's no testimonies. How about this? Are you interested in seeing other people saved? Are you willing, hear me, to do the dirty work of talking to people that aren't interested? Has there been a switch in your allegiance? Is your allegiance to yourself or to God? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Folks, that's step one. That's the dirty work right here in the middle. That's when a person transfers allegiance from self to Christ. This is salvation on the good ship lollipop. How many options do you have? Look up here. This, nobody believes this except people that are denying the Bible. You're welcome to believe these or a combination of these. Not what the church believes. Not what the pastors believe. You're not really welcome to believe this one because you'll be uncomfortable every day of your life if this is where you are. This is what the Bible teaches. Yes, God chooses us in eternity past, but how we get saved is God's grand providence and all the details and the blood, the sweat, and the tears, and the prayers, and the giving of God's people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Seal it to our hearts, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.